Chicago sports conversation is now.
There's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot written about this AFL NFL championship.
I don't think last year's game, last year's situations have anything to do with this year's team. It's a different team, and I don't really think it has much relevance.
The Beat.
We don't need any extra motivation. We don't need to know that we're underdogs, and then we busted the dog mask out.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die.
On 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. We're ticking it down 25 some odd hours. Hope you're having a great weekend. My name is Mark Harmon. His name is Harry Tynowitz. He is wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jersey number 32. Wow, a little Ricky Waters out of nowhere. Harry,
old school.
I mean, I'm impressed. Harry's been in a coat all day long, just undressed in front of me, and there came the 32.
I might not stop here.
Well, hey, that's okay. I'm friendly, Harry. You can do whatever you want, buddy.
We have a show packed with surprises and fun, and Carm, you were in Minneapolis. I want to hear some great stories.
I had the greatest time ever. It was one of the coolest events that I've ever gotten to cover. It was so much fun just to be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I actually got in Sunday night, had a little cheeseburger at some place that I can't remember right now. But it was delicious, and it was awesome to be there, man. It's the first time I've ever done Radio Row. I know you've done it a ton, and
pretty cool, huh?
It was awesome. And the Mall of America,
been there.
If I lived in Minneapolis, I would never go. But being a tourist like I was, it was awesome. You have a roller coaster, many of them in the mall, Harry. I got kicked off a ride. It was called the Turtle. We asked mall security. The person was actually not mall security. We asked the person who was running the Turtle, can I please ride the Turtle? Because there was a little lull in the day. We were trying to get some authentic Mall of America video for Fansided, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so she said, go ahead and ride the Turtle. Next thing you know, I'm flying around on the Turtle, Harry. And I'm watching myself be videoed, and then there's mall security standing next to our video guy, and I nearly got booted out of the Super Bowl in the Mall of America, but it all worked out. We had to talk our way through.
It is the largest mall in North America. It's built on the site of the old Twin Stadium.
Very big mall. Harry, I thought it was on the site of the Metrodome. The old Twin Stadium. And Vikings, right. Right. Exactly. Very good.
In those days, football and baseball played, and the Bears used to play at Wrigley.
Right.
Have you heard?
I have heard that a couple of times, yes. I think Ed Obradovich played there, perhaps, back in the day.
And who was the last NFL team to play on a baseball field?
Last NFL team to play on a baseball field.
Here's a hint. They still do it.
The Rams?
No.
That's not correct. I feel like there's a baseball field somewhere in the Coliseum there. Am I wrong?
You Coliseum, but go up the state. It is called the Coliseum.
It is called the Coliseum.
They have yellow and green jerseys.
They have yellow and green.
The baseball team. The football team has silver and black jerseys.
We're talking about the Raiders?
Yes, sir. They still play. They still share that stadium with Oakland.
Oh, we're talking about the baseball team with the yellow and green. I got it. I was thinking the green and gold. I got all confused. Got you. Right. That's why they're leaving there.
So who'd you meet? Who'd you see? Who'd you rub shoulders with?
I rubbed, me and T.O., Terrell Owens, who may or may not get into the Hall of Fame. We bonded. I thought he should. He's promoting Febreze this Super Bowl season, because if you do go to someone's house early and you get all involved in a chicken wing, which, by the way, chicken wings versus pizza, where do you go? Huge discussion. The number one and two foods for your Super Bowl, wing or pizza.
Well, first of all, if you're American, don't you do both?
Well, sure, but if you could only have one, I like to limit your options. If you wing or pizza, Harry, these are the big decisions for tomorrow.
My immediate reaction is, because I'm never sure might be like buffalo wings or a wing I'm not crazy about, I would go pizza.
You would. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. If it's barbecue or teriyaki, I'll go wings. You?
I want a nice hot wing, but I'm going pizza all day over. Mm-hmm.
Patrick Sharp is a nice hot wing.
Wings are way too messy.
Nothing?
I missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was in the wings and pizza messiness of a wing, and like each wing is one napkin.
Barbecue is something better to eat at home.
Right. Just let me condense a pizza, that type of thing. I think that's a better move. And I just got completely distracted by people running around outside, jumping up and down, going Super Bowl. The question, by the way, that I've seen around the wings, are you a plain Jane? Are you a dipped in blue cheese? Are you a coated in a hot sauce? Are you a batched in a ranch? Or your
my two choices are barbecue or teriyaki.
Okay,
so I guess I'm a plain Jane.
Yeah, you're a little bit off the board.
I don't do the ranch.
You're off the board.
I used to like to dip them in Cuervo.
Hey, we should let you know, by the way, that's aggressive, Harry. Good job. Good job.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna have different WGN personalities on coming
what?
Out. Yes, out of every break today or close to it, we will have a WGN personality. Not gonna tell you who for their Super Bowl prediction. We're dialing up all the big shooters today. We wanted to be a part of the program.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have one coming up here right after our first timeout. It's gonna be Conrad. It is not Paul Conrad, and I don't know if we have any TV folk.
Oh, okay.
But maybe we can.
It's one big family, as I've had it explained to me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the show's evolving by the moment here, so maybe we'll get some TV people on. I want to ask you, Harry. First thing tomorrow,
yeah.
Big debate going on right now. The Eagles and the Patriots. I've been on the phone with Belichick and on the phone with Doug Peterson, head coach of the Eagles, and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles are having the debate because Carson can participate in this. What are you going to do, heads or tails, to start the Super Bowl? This is a huge decision, and you know who. When you get the ball first or whether you defer, this can determine the game. It's also, more importantly, something you can bet on, even money, heads and tails. Of course, Vegas is going to take their 5%. Last 4 years, tails has come out on top. There's been 51 Super Bowls going into Super Bowl 52 tomorrow. 27 tails, 24 heads. Harry Tynowitz, you're a gambling man since you came out of the womb. You once got a scarf from your bookie that was $200.
Get a $200 scarf from Barney's.
Yes, you wrote about that in The Athletic this week. Congratulations
thank you.
Writing for The Athletic.
Big fan of The Athletic. Go to The Athletic. It's now going to New York. It's going to Los Angeles. John Greenberg, man, he's running the world.
There you go. $4.76 billion are going to be gambled tomorrow.
And only 3% of that is legal.
Right. Which makes 97% of it illegal.
You are so good at math. Did you go to the University of Iowa?
I did.
Carm, this is a no-brainer. Four straight games. It's been tails. So tomorrow's obviously heads. The Patriots are the home team, even though they'll be wearing white. So the Eagles in the midnight green will get to call it, and they should call heads. It's going to be heads.
See, that's interesting that you would say heads, because
mm-hmm.
I see you as a tails guy.
Depends on what time of night it is.
Well, heads to me is somebody that likes to go on the straight and narrow. Heads is the accountant. Heads is the lawyer. Heads is the secretary. Heads is someone who just lives on the straight line. They grew up in the north suburbs. They went to the University of Illinois. Then they went to DePaul Law School. They were in their fraternity. Like that person, heads all day long. You, to me, are a Kansas, whatever you did with college, zigzag, Ricky Waters, whatever. So tails, you go different. You make a move. You're a tails guy. You blaze your own trail.
Car.
You are your own tail. Tails is the all-day answer. And they've won four in a row. Harry, stock market, the trend is your friend. Believe in what's going on. Four in a row, tails is on a roll. How can you go against the roll? When the stock market's falling, you don't want to catch the hot knife. This is a whole tails is the bet tomorrow. Put it all on tails. Don't worry about anything else.
Haven't I warned you about making hasty generalizations? Heads or tails? Heads is quicker. I got stuff to do, man. I'm going to go with heads. It's my first option. Heads is the classic choice. Heads, because 4 years in a row, it has been tails. Okay, tails to me is like giving up. You know, look at them running away. All you can see are their tails. You know, tails is like we're leaving. You know, hey, we're taillights. You know, heads is like head of the class. It's a good thing. It's a winner. If you're heads, you're a winner. It's ridiculous that you're on the tail side.
312-981-7200.
Out to the listeners.
Huge question. At least
we're
on
not doing heads or tails.
Heads or tails is a big question. We need to get some input in here. At least on the text line. 312-981-7200. Heads or tails? 773 already texting in. Heads equals order, tails equals chaos. And I would agree with you, but sometimes chaos, mess, gets you to the top. Order, structure, sometimes you're just standing in line. So, hey, let me take a quick time out, and we're going to bring in a WGN personality and get their prediction on the game. So you can, you know, we'll see who comes out on top of the, in the WGN family, and we'll get this host's opinion on heads or tails, which is a huge topic. Tails 4 in a row, going for 5. It's going to happen.
I cannot wait to talk to Marty McNeely.
720 WGN. It's like tails in a runaway here, man. Just so you know. Heads or tails, you guys remind me of the movie The Sure Thing, Nick or Elliot from the 630. Sure Thing's a great film.
And it is a good film. Dude, you drove all the way across the country just to get... I really respect that. We heard Already Gone coming out because 95% of America is cheering against New England. All day today, we feature the music of the Eagles.
It's a great call by you. You've been talking about playing the Eagles since like 3 weeks ago. You've been so excited about this.
Right. I didn't know what we were going to play, you know, like if the Vikings won.
Well, you would have figured something out.
Prince, Bob Dylan.
Tails, because you can't headgate. That sounds something like I shouldn't read on the radio, but I think it's okay that I just said that. We are getting a different WGN personality to predict the Super Bowl.
We don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are, except we do know who this one is. But the next ones are going to be all anonymous.
I don't know who it is.
Okay, you don't know who it is. Good afternoon. How are you there, sir?
Tails.
Now I know who it is.
John Williams, who was working earlier today, and of course 1 to 3 Monday through Friday, joining us here, Carmen Harry, 720 WGN. John, we need to get your prediction so people can write it down and make a wager.
Before I answer that, can I just ask you guys a quick question?
Sure. Absolutely.
If Tom Brady has the football, fourth quarter, down 23-9, who do you like in that game?
It doesn't seem fair. It should have to be like 40-9 for Philly to have a chance.
Well, I've been thinking about this. 23-9. He needs 2 touchdowns. Who do you like early in the fourth quarter? Patriots have the ball. Midway in the fourth quarter, Patriots have the ball.
I think for Philly fans to feel comfortable, to your point, John, probably like at 3 minutes you feel comfortable 23-9. You're not comfortable with 14-22 on the clock.
John, it should be like right. It should be like golf, John. There should be a handicap. Like Tom Brady's team should just start the game down 14-0.
That's why I'm kind of rooting for the Patriots. I want to see the best team playing our best game, do their best. I'd love to see another one of those things where he throws it into the end zone and Gronkowski's playing, right? Catches him,
yes.
2 feet in, that sort of thing. I think that'd be fun.
I know why you're cheering for the Patriots. You're mad at Philly for knocking off the Vikings where you once toiled.
There's that, too. Although I should go to Philly because their field goal kicker's from LaGrange, right?
Yes, he is. We're actually
Township High School.
We're going to actually talk about Jake Elliott in 1 second here. But all right, John, I want your prediction. We're going to bring on everybody from WGN. And
final score prediction?
Who's ever the closest, we're going to give you Lou Malnati's pizza, although that's illegal, so we really won't do that. I'm lying.
How about a MyPillow?
Maybe a MyPillow. What's your score, King John?
I got Brady picking up those 2 touchdowns. He puts up 14 in fourth quarter plus the 9. That's 23-21 over the Eagles.
23-21 Patriots. John Williams on the board.
Says it with conviction.
I like it.
Light, John Williams.
All right, we'll get you.
Your boys are terrific. Thank you for letting me be on your swell show.
You don't have to patronize us.
Thank you, King John.
John, if I want to be patronized, I'll go home.
Oh, boy. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. 312-981-7200.
That was good.
23-21 Patriots. Patriots, thank you.
So far, I really like this idea of yours.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out here.
But I'm going to write down the name of 2 people that I don't think will be coming on. And then we'll see at 7 o'clock if they came on.
Okay. We can do that.
All right.
By the way, one more thing on heads or tails. More bets are coming in on heads, but the sharp money is coming in on tails. So know that, Harry.
I will know that. How about this for a prop bet? Will Justin Timberlake begin his halftime show wearing a hat? Yes or no?
Timberlake with a hat, yes or no? I think Timberlake does not wear a hat. I think he wants the full Timberlake to be out there.
I think because he's got such a sense of spectacle that he will be in the hat.
I like a good hat look, though, on a Super Bowl. There's a certain flair to wearing a hat at halftime. Maybe half hat, half not hat. Did you factor that into your bet? So where you said start with a hat?
Yeah, start with a hat. That's okay. All that matters.
Okay. So, hey, as we were talking, I was up there this week and you can check out a bunch of videos, by the way, on the old Facebook fan side. There's a ton of my work there. Feel free. One of the guys I talked to, Jake Elliott, who John mentioned, fascinating story, right? Kid's First of all, I'm talking to him. To me, he looks like he's 5'3". He's actually listed at 5'9 and 170 pounds. He's the Eagles kicker.
You could take him.
Probably not, but it would be my best chance. Lions Township High School, played tennis, taught kids tennis at the Western.
Oh, my God. This is the guy you want to marry your daughter.
Exactly. He is. Freshman pep rally 2009. He's in the crowd. And they call him out there, say, hey, you want to try to win whatever it is? He boots a 30-yard field goal. The high school coach is like, get that guy out here. He still continues to play tennis, but his junior year becomes the kicker.
Does he use a racket for tennis, or does he use his foot?
He would bring the tennis rackets and put him on the football field in the corner. All the football guys are like, what's in that bag? That's his tennis stuff, man.
Man, football players already hate kickers.
Right. So now he's like, he can't get a full ride in tennis because it's tennis. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So this kid goes up to the Wisconsin Dells, last gasp.
For a water show?
We went to the Kohl's Showcase Camp. Great job, by the way, by David Haw and Patrick Finley, both writing about him. I'm putting both pieces together here. He goes up to the Kohl's Showcase Camp. Memphis needs a kicker. They see him, bring him in. He becomes Memphis's all-time leader in points, field goals, consecutive extra points. He's got, all sorts of records at Memphis. Fifth-round pick of the Bengals. They cut him. He's on the practice squad, Harry. The Eagles pick him up. By the way, did the Bears need a kicker this year at any point? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he ends up on the Eagles. Second game, kicks a 61-yarder. He's a hero, and now he's in the Super Bowl. I talked to Jake Elliott, Harry.
That is awesome. You know the record he set at Memphis besides most points ever by a football player?
What's that?
Athlete who took his own test the most.
That's probably true. Uh-huh. That's very true. So with kickers, I wanted to know, like, how do you, the moment, it's all the pressure of that one thing, and how do you celebrate, or how do you let it go? So Jake Elliott, he's got his own rule.
That goes back to high school, and that's how I approached everything when I was playing tennis back in the day. You can't really think about too much. You can't get in your head too much. In high school, when I started kicking, I kind of developed this one-minute rule where, you make a kick, you got 1 minute to enjoy it and move on to the next one. You miss a kick, you got 1 minute to, think about it, correct it, and move on to the next one.
1 minute rule, Harry.
I have a 1 minute rule, too. It's got nothing to do with kicking.
I figured you might take it right there, and congratulations on making it to a minute. That's outstanding. Some people don't even get that far, so good job by you. The 1 minute rule. I think it's a great one for all of us.
This kid came in, like you said, from the Bengals. They needed their regular kicker, got hurt, Philadelphia. He is asked to make a 61-yard field goal in Philly, okay? And he makes it, the longest kick ever made by an Eagle in the city of Philadelphia, and he's an instant hero.
Right, and he's got the 1 minute rule. If you mess something up, whatever it is in your life, you got a 1 minute. You can think about how you didn't do great, but then you let it go. Or you did something great, you can celebrate for a minute, but then it's on to the next, man. Life keeps moving. Keep on going. All that stuff, it's important.
It's a quality you need from your place kicker, from your closer in baseball,
right?
You know, from your goalie.
Yeah, and there's also I just want to say before we move on here, and those are all positions that
they are all positions
that learned that probably have the 1 minute rule somewhere, but he's got a website, Jake Elliott 4, and he's selling T-shirts to donate to the Kelly Joy Foundation. And I don't know if you remember, 14-year-old Kelly, she was murdered in her family's home in Indian Park with a burglary when they were all in high school. So it had a huge impact on him and a ton of his friends. And so he put it out on Twitter after they was going to the Super Bowl that all the shirts that he's going to donate to the Kelly Joy Foundation.
That's fantastic.
So
I like this guy more and more. You know, every time I read Finley's, read Hawes, you're telling me about him. Everything I hear about this guy, I like him more and more.
Yeah, her last name, Kelly O'Loughlin, if you remember that.
So what's the website again?
JakeElliott4.com. If you want to donate to
wonderful cause.
To a wonderful cause, exactly. Mm-hmm. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Harry Tynowitz and Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing.
Doing
an outstanding job. We're going to hear from Terry Bradshaw coming up in a little bit here. And we have surprise guests along the way today as we're getting everyone's opinion around the station. Who is going to win the Super Bowl? I'm writing them all down, and we're going to give them a MyPillow, which is illegal, and that would be payola pagola. We won't do that, but we have to give them something. Harry, maybe we'll give like a free hug or something along those lines. How about free hugs? We're offering no, that's not it. How about a Starbucks gift card from me and you? What do you think? A Starbucks gift card from me and you?
Well, I wouldn't it be more us if we gave Starburst?
That would be more you, but that might be something that at least some of our WGN guests would appreciate. It's supposed to be a mystery guest, but I know this phone number. So, welcome to the program, mystery guest. Hello, sir.
What's up, fellas?
It's Dave Ennett, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Cochran's show and the voice of your Northwestern Wildcats and our fearless sports director leader. Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking time.
How you doing? Yeah, for you, are you kidding? For the chance to win a MyPillow? Or a Starbucks gift card? I don't want the Starburst, by the way.
See,
oh, man, see, they're so good and tangy.
Right. I see Dave, you know, he's in the morning, would love a nice coffee, right?
It makes more sense.
All right, so who do you have here, Dave? Break it down for us.
Well, I think that common sense tells you to take the Patriots, let's be honest. And for some of the reasons that John Williams just mentioned, too, namely number 12 behind center. But it's too easy to pick New England. It makes too much sense. So I picked Philadelphia in both of their playoff games, both the divisional playoff and the NFC championship game. And I was kind of a voice in the wilderness on that because I think people were just assuming that with the quarterback situation, Nick Foles wasn't going to be able to get it done, and they got it done. So I think it's a good all-around team that's good enough to win this game. I mean, if Brady does what Brady does late in the game and doesn't stumble at all, then there's a good likelihood that New England wins. But I'm going to go with Philadelphia, and I'm also going to say something, guys, that I don't think I've ever said on the air as part of my motivation for picking Philadelphia. I have some Philadelphia blood in me. My mother was from Philadelphia. So I kind of feel like a little loyalty to my mom. I got to go with the Eagles.
We need a score, and I love it, Dave. What do you got for? Give me a score.
What was the Williams' score?
Oh, I love how he's just sizing up. John,
23-21.
23-21, yep.
Could do Philadelphia 24-23, but I like the idea of a Jake Elliott game winner.
Uh-huh.
Don't you?
I do. Sweet.
You romanticize the fantasy.
Absolutely. I'm going 24-21 Philly.
24-21 Eagles. Dave Ennett on the board. And, of course, you hear him on Monday, and you will hear him Tuesday night when the Wildcats whip Michigan at Allstate Arena.
Yes, they will. They sure did last year.
And that's
payback.
After some of the college basketball that I've been watching today, I don't know what to expect anymore in any game because you look at some of the games. I mean, I watched Oklahoma State go into Allen Fieldhouse, knock off your Kansas Jayhawks.
Why bring that up?
Well, it was a really entertaining game, and Oklahoma State wanted it more. They really played.
They played hard. They did.
And same with Missouri and Kentucky, and that was another one. So. And then Minnesota and Michigan end up playing overtime today. So, it'll be a good game, though. I'm looking forward to it.
I think the key to what Dave is saying right now is never say die with the Wildcats. Anything is possible. They can win out, get back in the tournament. There are games to be played. There's a Big Ten tournament to be played. And the future is bright, too. Pete Nance Jr. is going to be the man next year along with the rest of the class. I just got a little sidetracked. Dave, thank you.
You know me too well, Carm. Thanks.
Dave, what time should Carm and I be over for the big game tomorrow?
Let's see. What time? 5:30 kick?
Yeah.
You guys are welcome anytime. I won't be there. Just make yourself at home.
Thank you.
The dog will be there.
We'll mow the lawn for you, Dave.
I'm good with dogs.
Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
See you guys. Dave Ennett right there for you. 720 WGN. More guests along. So we got our first Eagles pick, man. 24-21. Dave's got the Eagles. John Williams is taking the Patriots. 23-21. We're giving away a Starbucks gift card. Dan Long's going to pay for it. Well, that's the plan.
I like what Dave did there. You know, go with the Eagles. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Like, if you were analyzing this, Tom Brady has 5 rings. Philly's 0-2 in the Super Bowl. Nick Foles looked great against the Vikings, but come on. Tom Brady against a backup quarterback? I mean, everything on paper leads us to believe New England wins another crown, but
nobody knows what's going to happen. That's the whole point of this bit. You don't know who's going to win tomorrow. Everybody thought Atlanta was a lot.
When Jacksonville had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter on the Patriots, didn't you know Tom Brady was going to win?
No. I thought he was, but I didn't know. Like, football is the most impossible game to predict, at least as far as the spreads go. And tomorrow's game, I have no idea. Nobody thought that Nick Foles was going to come through, as Dave said. But he did. Nobody thought that Atlanta would come back from 28th or would blow a 28-3 lead. By the way, Rich McKay, their president and CEO, is going to be on a little bit later. He's also part of the NFL competition committee. We're going to talk some catch, no catch. It's good stuff. That's coming up. And we're going to hear from Terry Bradshaw in about 3 minutes here. So I want to know, Harry, before we get to Terry.
Yes.
How do you feel about people that are just consistently successful in life? Who just always have their P's and Q's in order. They get up 5 a.m. every day. They're at the gym by 5:23. They have their clothes perfectly lined up. They're out the gym door at the same time. They've got their coffee. They've got their fruit. They've got their oatmeal. They've got...
Wait, you're saying they have their coffee and their fruit?
Yeah, and then they have their salad packed away, and they're ready to go, and their day is scripted. Their calendar is in order,
and they
go about their routine, and they win. How do you feel about those people?
Carm, I believe you deal in a world of absolutes. For me, there's a gray area. I don't just make this broad brush that everybody who's successful is a jackass. I think it depends on the individual.
Well, hold on. I didn't say anything about jackass. I just talked about an organized, thoughtful, intentional person who I just laid out there for you. That's not necessarily a jackass.
You're saying,
but
like,
if you do think they're a jackass, I think you're rooting against the Patriots, which is fine, by the way.
I think that Tom Brady is so great, I can't help but cheer for him. Okay, I want Tom Brady, you know, to have a wonderful career. We might be looking at the best quarterback ever, and I certainly don't want that to be a Packer quarterback. I want that to be in any other team. But I think that it's human nature. Unless you're from Boston or you got a relative on that team, the whole world is cheering for Philly tomorrow.
Of course they are, because the world does not like success. We want to tear it down, which is, and I can relate.
Well, Michael Jordan? We didn't want Michael Jordan to go out there and be successful?
There was plenty of people who wanted Michael to lose. Michael was a little bit different because he had such charisma and all that, and the Bulls were kind of a more popular team. The Patriots have never been like the Bulls that way.
The Patriots are really, you know, and again, I admire Bob Kraft. Starts with the owner. I admire Robert Kraft and the blue shirts with the white collars, but it is a team that is so obnoxious, they really should be from New York.
Right. Well, that's true, and we'll have an interesting discussion on that coming up. But here, all right, I talked to Terry Bradshaw.
Uh-huh.
Won 4 Super Bowls.
He did.
Went back to back, but they did that from a period of 74 to 80. The Patriots are in a decade plus here, so I figured we would ask Terry. You know, let's talk about this. You know, sustained success and being at the top of the mountain here. It's just not easy to do, right? I mean, how do you do that? So with Terry Bradshaw, let's just start here. How have the Patriots maintained that level of excellence?
I don't know how they do that. I know after winning 4 Super Bowls, I was emotionally and mentally drained, and I've pretty much had enough. So hats off to them for reloading emotionally and getting ready. They look forward to it. I mean, you get a sense that New England relishes this. They can't, you know, they don't necessarily say, let's get through the season, get to the fun part, playoffs, Super Bowl. But they just reload. They block out last year, and they play like they've not won a Super Bowl. But they play amazing. It's truly amazing what they do. And I absolutely am just in awe of them, probably like you and a lot of us. Just how do they do this year in and year out? And that coach and that quarterback are pretty much alike. I mean, they are seriously focused on the task at hand. And they do an amazing job of not only being themselves ready, but being leader. Like, Tom's the leader of that football team, and he won't let anybody slack off. You get that sense that if they do, he's in their face. So, and that coach is in their face. So, and they sweat, you know, they bring in free agents and people like that. They keep that machine going. I can't say enough nice things about them. That's why I'm kind of surprised I'm picking Philadelphia, because, you know, maybe subconsciously I'm hoping that Philly wins, because I think most America, without the Patriots fans, are tired of them. You know,
yes.
Football fans in general, just they're tired of them. They want new blood. So I think, having said that, you go, okay, Philly, get in there and be the new blood. You can do that. That quarterback can play well. He can play like he played in the championship game. He found his mojo. He's got his cool back. He's polished. They're calling good game plans. He's accurate. He's smart. He's comfortable. He's got his poise in the pocket, standing in there with all the pressure. Don't know how he's going to respond this week, but he'll keep that up. Yeah, he can play with these, you know. He can play with Brady. He can play and keep his team in this game.
You're tired of them, but you're going to miss them when they're gone. I mean, they've been great for the NFL.
Of course.
Right?
Well, we are recognizing and witnessing a absolutely incredible run of greatness. And you do embrace that. You have to embrace it as a fan and just and tell yourself, wow, man, this, you know, I saw this.
Right? Embrace it, Harry. You saw it. You saw the New England Patriots. Terry Bradshaw, if you're just joining us, the four-time Super Bowl champion.
You know, Terry Bradshaw was a marvelous quarterback, but, you know, I would probably give you like five other guys on that team that were more important to the success of that team than Terry Bradshaw.
Like
whereas,
who?
Whereas Tom Brady, let's go to their defense.
Right. Okay,
I mean, you know, Mel Blount and, you know, Jack Ham, Jack Lambert. Mean Joe Green, you know, Ernie Holmes, as Elsie Greenwood probably over Ernie Holmes.
Highest third down completion percentage in a Super Bowl, Terry Bradshaw, Harry Tynan. It's 1978, Super Bowl 13. The Pittsburgh Steelers 35, the Dallas Cowboys 31, Bradshaw 8 for 9.
Do you know which quarterback's Super Bowl stats dwarf everybody else's? Like, just, it's like night and day. And it's not a man named Brady. And it is not Terry Bradshaw. The quarterback that has the greatest, single greatest quarterback stats, I'll tell you right after the break.
Okay, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, he's Harry Tynowitz, I'm Mark Carman, Dan Long producing with you till 7, Blackhawks hockey at 8:30 tonight, Amy Guth in the middle, Hawks in the Calgary Flames.
Johnny Hockey.
Johnny Hockey, right here, buddy. 312-981-7200. Text line on the Patriots being the winners that they are. The world loves a winner. The world hates cheaters. Fair point. Very fair point. Although I will say, Harry, being up in Minneapolis this week, my respect for the Patriots grew by 10,000-fold.
Why is that?
I don't know what it was. Tom Brady walks in the room for a press conference. The dude's like glowing. I feel like I'm around. Is that Jesus himself right there? There was something about being in the room with him where and I saw how much he wanted to make the press conference good. Like, everything he does is excellent. His football, his press conferences. Now, the thing with, did you see Tom versus Time where he's kissing his kid? Did you see that?
It's a little disturbing.
Kissing his kid on the lips, Wendy, if you missed it, for extended periods of time.
Wendy Snyder, clued me into that. You know, I was on with Bill and Wendy yesterday on the stream. They do their show 10 to noon, which is never enough time, and then they're on the stream for an hour, and she told me all about that.
That is flat out weird. I love to give my dad a hug. I love to give him a kiss on the cheek. Mm-hmm. Papa Fred, I hope if you're out there listening, love all that. I'm not kissing him on the lips. That's bizarre. Although I shouldn't judge what people do in their family.
How old was the kid?
The kid was, who cares how old the kid was? 10? I don't know. And then, okay. But we're doing WGN guests all show long coming out of breaks. And they're giving their Super Bowl predictions. And we're giving them Starbucks out of our own dimes over here.
I'm giving Starburst.
Harry's giving Starburst. Don't know who this is. Welcome to the beat. Who's this?
I'm walking out of Costco with a shopping cart full of beer, In Case Meat and Meatballs. Take a wild guess
it's
who it is.
It's Kevin Powell.
KP!
KP from the Rokan Show. KP, Mr. Baseball. Good afternoon, Kevin Powell.
And the only person on the Rokan Show who actually does their own shopping.
Is that true?
I don't know where Harry's going with that one, so I'm going to stay away from that one. We're doing a Super Bowl party, my roommate and I, so we've got a whole lot of food, meat, beer, liquor. Can't wait. Happy Super Bowl Eve, guys.
That's awesome. You bring up an interesting point, KP, because I have recently changed my thoughts on this. You could do – which would you prefer for a Super Bowl, to go to a party or a bar? Or just like to, you know, kind of like hang at somebody's house, you know, with right. a smaller group where you hear more of the game. You're still at that age where you're going party, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who's playing. I think it's tough because if the Bears are playing, you know, you want to be dialed in. You're not missing a play. You're not missing anything the broadcasters are telling you. But if the Bears were in it, you'd still kind of want to be with friends because it'd be fun to be celebrating. But you're much more dialed in. For me, I really pay close. I'm not one of these casual watchers of the Super Bowl. I love football, obviously. I love watching the actual game. My halftime show is like, I'm not one of those people that really even cares about it. I don't know. It just felt like a good year to do it. We got a new place. We're like, let's throw a party. And the party seems to be growing by the day. It's a large crop of people coming our way. So we're going to do some sausages, some meatballs, some appetizers, you know.
Did you get an invite, Harry? Any invite to the KP party?
But I'm guessing that's where Dave Ennett's going
to
be.
Maybe Dave Ennett. Is Dave Ennett coming to
that? Obviously, I don't even have to extend an invite to a couple of close friends of mine. You guys can just show up. Of course you can come by.
We'll bring some cigars. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. What's your address?
I love it.
Yeah.
Kevin,
I'll text it to you.
what's your prediction, KP? We're giving away Starbucks and Starburst. That's what we do.
I really hope a close game. I'm going to say New England 24. Philly 22. You can't bet against Brady. And I don't really understand the Brady and Patriots haters because it's just greatness. I mean, it's just such, it's amazing what they've been able to do. So I don't hate on that. I think the Eagles are much easier to dislike simply because of their fan base.
Well, I think if we analyze it, it's not really Brady hatred. I think it's more like Belichick angst. And when I say it's hate hatred, I'd say it's Belichick angst. He's cheated, you know?
So is Brady.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't like have too much stock into the whole cheating thing. I don't know. I mean, I guess we got to take a closer look at what actually went down and whatnot. But
no, you don't. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
I know how you guys feel.
Bill Belichick.
I don't hate the Patriots.
Bill Belichick, second smartest NFL coach ever behind John Fox.
Kevin Powell, great stuff, man. Have a great Super Bowl party. And that was,
guys, you're more than welcome to stop by. Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Let's go.
I can't go by tomorrow. I mean, I got major things going on. I got
KP's house. What do you think the percentage of guys to girls are at a Kevin Powell party?
No, strong women there. Strong women. Man, I mean, the whole It's Just Lunch crew is going to be there.
Dan Long, what do you think percentage wise?
Clippers.
About a 65-35.
See, Super Bowl parties are tough to gauge ratios on. There's so many variables involved.
Yeah, but that's why you get away with it.
113-103, by the way, Bulls lost to the Clippers, if you were curious. Harry, pay off your tees. Who had the greatest Super Bowl ever?
The greatest. Yeah. If you compare the Super Bowls he's played in, there's no other quarterback statistically who comes close to Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner's stats are unbelievable.
Are you talking about one game or his entire
career?
Okay.
I'm talking about what he's got, I believe, like, three of the top five games, three of the top four games. I mean, Kurt Warner's Super Bowl stats are incredible, and that includes getting picked off by Ty Law to start the Super Bowl that started the Patriots dynasty.
Kurt Warner is a great story for us all to remember. Just for one moment, the dude was bagging groceries. Mm-hmm. He was arena football. Mm-hmm. He did not give up on his dreams. He got an opportunity. He had prepared for that opportunity. He walked through that door, and he won Super Bowls. He had a great career. He's on the NFL Network now, and he got to see me at the Super Bowl this week. Kurt Warner's a great story.
Were you on the NFL Network with Kurt Warner?
No. I got to go on Adam Hoge's Sports Central show. That happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's,
any hoagies?
I don't think there were any hoagies this week. He was too busy for any hoagies. All right, coming up after 5 o'clock here, Harry, we've got
the entertainment writer for the Chicago Tribune, Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson is going to let us know what to look for with the Super Bowl commercials. There's a lot of people that look forward more to the Super Bowl commercials than to the Super Bowl. So Steve Johnson, who's the best entertainment writer in the city, maybe in the Midwest, Steve Johnson is joining us right after the 5 o'clock news.
And for me, it's just all big, one huge vat of chili. Like, there's no part of the Super Bowl that you want to miss. Like, I want to watch the game. I want to watch the commercials. It's a great exercise in just staying present for a full 4 hours, because everything is great. The whole experience is great. Even the halftime show is great. You're great, Harry. Dan Long producing is great. You are listening. You're great, too. I'm very excited. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 12 minutes, we're going to bring the righteous and mighty power of the E Street Band into your beautiful home. I want you to step to put the chicken fingers down and turn your television all the way up. And what I want to know is there anybody alive out there? Is there anybody alive out there?
Bruce Springsteen, halftime show. Ain't going to be there this year. Timberlake greater than Springsteen.
What did you get on that in Vegas?
We'll get back to that in a second. Steve Johnson from the Chicago Tribune, their entertainment reporter, will be with us. So congratulations, breaking news. Brian Urlacher into Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Class of 2018 is being announced. Terrell Owens is in as well. Third time on the ballot for T.O. He gets in. Ray Lewis, a first-timer, is in. Brian Dawkins gets in as well. And Randy Moss as well. So it's
what a class.
It's a I'm trying to get the I'm piecing this together on Twitter. I'm trying to see there could only be five, so but I saw one thing with Green Bay. But bottom line,
Jerry Kramer, they always take a veteran.
Okay.
Veterans Committee elects the former offensive lineman, the great Jerry Kramer.
Okay, and there you go. So that's why there are six. So there you go. Bottom line, first ballot Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher, the greatest Bears linebacker since Dick Butkus. And, you can make some arguments with the 85 Bears, too, if you'd like. I wouldn't necessarily argue with you.
He was the ninth pick in the 2000 draft, and he played his entire career with the Bears from 2000 to 2012. Eight-time Pro Bowl selection, Defensive Player of the Year in 2005. I believe something good happened with the team that year.
Certainly the best thing that happened to the Bears since the 1985 Bears, Brian Urlacher. I don't think you could really come up with anything else.
You're forgetting Craig Krenzel?
I am forgetting Craig Krenzel. I'm forgetting
Tim Worley.
Yeah. I'm forgetting Jay Cutler. I'm forgetting.
Easy to forget.
Yes, right. So congrats to 54, who is in. Now the question is, when he goes in his Hall of Fame bust, will he go with the hair or will he go bald or like? That's the big question to me. He's already said that he's going bald, but I think he should reconsider. Right now, he has hair. Restore. That's his thing. Go in with the hair. Congrats to Urlacher.
Congrats.
All right, Steve Johnson, Chicago Tribune, your entertainment reporter, talking Super Bowl commercials. Steve, welcome to 720 WGN. $5 million.
We're good.
$5 million for a 30-second commercial, Steve. Is it prices going up, prices going down here?
They're doing pretty well with them compared to the trend over the years, although there were a couple of, apparently Wix.com got in on a discount buy at the last minute, so they quickly threw an ad together. So I guess there was one or two spots left, but I think mostly, as usual, the most watched television event of the year by a wide measure, and advertisers want to be there.
Now, Steve, at $5 million for a 30-second spot, were you surprised that the Chicago Tribune bought two spots?
I did not know we had that kind of money these days, but I think it'll be money well spent. It's going to be a renaissance in newspaper.
All right, like most of America, I've peaked. You know, I've checked out some. I saw a lot of the new Budweiser ones. I saw the one where Keanu Reeves is riding a motorcycle, and I'm thinking evil thoughts. But the ones
face plant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Face plant. Is that wrong? Is that so wrong?
It's between you and your superior being.
Right.
You have to work that out.
Okay, so I love the Amazon one where Alexa's voice goes down and all the celebrities are there. Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is that the star-studded commercial? Is there? What's a commercial or two that our listeners should look forward to checking out tomorrow?
Yeah, well, that's certainly going to be one of the big ones. Amazon Alexa, they bought a, they're doing a 90-second ad, and a great premise that, you know, what would happen if Alexa lost her voice? And so they have a bunch of celebs come in and double as their voices. Gordon Ramsay, Cardi B. Who was it? Rebel Wilson, for instance.
Yeah.
My favorite one was the Gordon Ramsay one where the guy goes, Alexa, tell me a recipe for a grilled cheese sandwich. The name of the sandwich is the recipe. Are you an idiot?
That's awesome.
Anthony Hopkins is in there, too.
Oh, yeah, and Anthony Hopkins at the end, right. Yeah, there's a lot going on there, but yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. The ones I've seen that are out so far, I haven't thought they've been great. There's a nice Toyota ad for the Paralympic skier, or featuring the Paralympic skier, Lauren Wollstonecraft. She's an 8-time Canadian gold medalist. That's a really nice spot, kind of. You know, she's born without any legs, and the odds of her winning a gold medal then are on screen, and they're, of course, astronomical. And then as she practices and works, the odds keep going down. And then, you know, at the end, of course, you see her winning a gold, and the odds are 1-1, and very, very heartwarming stuff. But there hasn't been a lot of other in the early going. Nothing's really grabbed me. I'm hoping that a lot of the ones that are being held back until game time will be a little more exciting, amusing, groundbreaking.
There's nothing like running through the whole range of emotions, just the pure sport, enjoying the game, and then you get to a Super Bowl commercial, a little tear comes out, and then you're back into the game, and you're mowing down a wing. That's a way to live a Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, Steve, apparently, and Steve Johnson from the Chicago Tribune, their entertainment reporter, is with us here on 720 WGN. The U.S. Marine Corps is airing an ad in the Super Bowl for the first time in 30 years, Steve. They're using an online-only spot. They're trying to get after some of the youth and the tech-savvy audience to get people to enlist.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't tend to follow what happens outside of the confines of the actual television broadcast, but yeah, more and more people though are doing that. They're sort of tying into the Super Bowl without actually having to pony up the $5 million.
What celebrities can you tell us will be popping up on the? Because you know, Scottie Pippen did one with Jason Alexander one year. And you always see like celebrities that would never appear in a commercial popping up on these Super Bowl ads. So can you give us a few names?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's Peyton Manning.
Shocker.
I know, in a TV ad, but you know, at doing a thing for Universal theme parks. Danny DeVito embodies one of the M&Ms, wishes to be human, and it turns into Danny DeVito.
Typecasting.
Right. And then, of course, the Alexa ad with all those folks. Oh, Tiffany Haddish does an ad for, Girls Trip, and the very, very funny, very charming comedian. She does an ad for Groupon because she's apparently one of the biggest Groupon users going. So, sadly, it does not really take advantage of her, but you know, she's there at the beginning and the end, and then they shoehorn in one of those like guy getting hit in the stomach scenarios in the middle for inexplicable reasons.
You got a little Keanu Reeves working with Squarespace.
Yeah, that one, Harry. What that ad? I just sat there and thought, did they just run out of money or something? There's nothing going on there.
It looks so stupid. The ad is Keanu Reeves standing on a motorcycle going down the highway.
Yeah.
That's the ad.
He's saying, like, be your own best self, or so, you know, kind of generic feel-good things.
I'll still enjoy it. A motorcycle, Keanu, the man looks good.
So the other thing, you know, the two things that we can always count on are a bunch of Budweiser commercials and a bunch of animals, right, Steve?
Yep, animals, and yeah, there's. what, four or five Budweiser ads, and Coke and Pepsi will be there too, of course. But Bud is introducing a new character, the Bud Knight, Bud Light, the new character, the Bud Knight, and that's playing off the kind of medieval theme they've been running with
Dilly Dilly,
Dilly Dilly King. Yeah, it's sort of a funny spot, entertaining. A minute long, the Bud Knight shows up in a battlefield, and everybody's like, oh, save us, Bud Knight, save us. And he's like, nah, I'm just here to get some beer at the store over there.
Doritos coming back strong here. Doritos always comes with something.
Doritos is there. They're not doing the user-generated ads that they've had such great success with for the last handful of years. They're making one professionally, and it is it's sort of a rap battle. They have Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones does one song, and then that's back to back with Morgan Freeman lip syncing another song for Mountain Dew, and I don't know. It's nicely produced. It's kind of amusing, but. You get the joke pretty early on in the lip syncing, and then you're watching the rest of the song.
Steve, the spot, you know, the TV show that comes on after the Super Bowl,
yeah.
That's always such like a big deal. You know, who gets that show? I remember years ago, my first Super Bowl with my now wife. Friends, you know, the big thing, you got to watch the show Friends, check out Friends. A lot of shows premiere, you know, everyone's going to spend the day drinking and eating. They're going to be exhausted. Why do we have the heavy drama? This Is Us showing the episode how Jack dies after the Super Bowl.
Right, which they don't need the bump of the Super Bowl to get people to watch.
Right.
Anyway, right? That's a kind of a
Boy,
talk about an emotional roller coaster, and then also questionable business decision, right? Right, you don't want to be brought down after hopefully a decent football game with this beloved character dying, and also NBC could put that on at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and tens of millions of people would watch it.
Steve, you going to travel to Australia after the Super Bowl tomorrow? I know the Tourism Australia is making a big push here, which is amazing to me that they feel it's worth it. But hey, they understand advertising better than me.
I will not be going there. But Yellowtail Wine is in the Super Bowl again this year.
Yes. Love a good $3 right. wine.
Mm. Yeah, wine breaking in with the $3 wine breaking into the former beer monopoly.
That's makes me think what that wine is. What are they producing it for, a cent a little ounce there? What do you got going on here, Harry?
I don't know. We go to my in-laws' house right now. There's a very good chance that in their fridge
they have Yellowtail.
No, but they've got wine in a box.
Oh well, okay. That's an aggressive take too. Hey Steve, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it and getting us prepped for the commercials, baby, and the game within the game, so to speak.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'll look forward to hearing what you think about them after they all air tomorrow.
You got it.
Always a pleasure, Steve. We'll visit with you again shortly.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Steve Johnson, entertainment reporter. We're going to go up to Minneapolis next. Adam Hogue talked to Brian Urlacher, who's on the red carpet. Something's
How
going
cool
on.
Is that?
Hogue's got intel on Urlacher getting in. Brian's supposed to speak to the media at 6. All that's coming straight ahead. 720 WGN.
He was a leader. You know, he was a cornerstone. He was a rock. And, you know, without him, you know, he was like that point guard. He set the tone. He set the pace for everybody. He was that big brother that you didn't want to let down.
.720 WGN, Brian Urlacher into Pro Football's Hall of Fame, along with Ray Lewis and Terrell Owens and Randy Moss and
Robert Brazil
and Brian Dawkins, Jerry Kramer, Bobby Bethard, all going in a big class. And Adam Hogue is up there covering for the new Sports Central and 720 WGN. What's up, Adam Hogue? How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Just got off the red carpet, which we got to talk to Greg Olson, Charles Tillman, and Aaron Rodgers. Very complimentary things to say about Brian Urlacher right before we found out that he did get in, and Urlacher will officially be welcomed here in a little bit as Dan Pompey, who gave the speech in the Hall of Fame meeting today and presented the case for Brian Urlacher just walked past me here, actually, and I'm sure he did a fine job to get him in. Good job, Dan.
Can I get Dan to do things for me, too? I mean, not that that Urlacher needed a whole lot of help, but I would trust Dan with my life, for the record. Dan Pompey's
yeah,
never given
no.
it, right?
If there's ever a case for me for anything, I'm going to let Dan do the talking. Go ahead.
What was it? I mean, in my mind, I thought he was getting in for sure. What did you think were the odds that Urlacher would get in?
So here's what's interesting, because I agree with you. Just look, we all saw Brian Urlacher's career. To me, if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't know what one is. But being here all week up in Minnesota and just having conversations with people around the league, a few of the Hall of Fame voters, you just got the sense that maybe the view of him outside of Chicago wasn't negative. It's not like they didn't think he was a Hall of Famer, but if you just ask these guys, is Brian Urlacher a first ballot Hall of Famer? There was a little bit of a hesitation. It was like, well, and you kind of have to think about it, whereas those of us in Chicago, I think, are like, yeah, duh. So that just kind of put some doubt into my mind, because you never know how these things go. But the more I read different things that are written this week, but the Dan Pompey's piece in The Athletic just kind of laying out the process and how he was going to go about it. And there was actually some video this morning that was on the NFL Network that was actually showing Dan presenting the case. I started feeling a little bit better about it as today went along, and this afternoon I was thinking that he probably would get in, and they certainly made the right call.
The bottom line is that they didn't win. That's not taking anything away from him, but to your point on the national level, like, he's just not as well known as guys who've been on the highest stage. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl once when he was there, and I think that's just a big part of it. But I mean, everybody talks about how he revolutionized the position, and I've never ran into one person who says, no, he doesn't belong. Nah, I don't think so. I mean, that was just, I thought that maybe with Ray Lewis being on there that they might only take one linebacker, but that's not, that was not how it went. So congrats to Brian. And Adam, is he going to go in with hair or without hair with the bust? I guess he's already saying he's going bald.
Yeah, I think he's going bald, which is the right move. And look, that's the way he looked when he was playing. So that's the way the bust should look. Hey, I talked to a lot of players this week that played against him. One of those being Aaron Rodgers, just about an hour ago, and Aaron Rodgers called him the smartest player he ever
wow.
played against.
Wow!
That's really a high compliment, and it shows you that the players that were going up against him feared him, not just because of his athletic ability and his speed and how much ground he could cover, but because they knew that he knew what they were running a lot of the times. He was so smart, and that's why he was a complete package. I talked to Matt Burke, the old Viking center.
72.
Saw him earlier this week, and he was on Sports Central, and he said that I asked him what it was like when Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher lined up in those double A-gap blitzes. And he's just like, he was terrified. I mean, which all pro do you pick in that moment? Really, you're going to be wrong either way. And so just hearing those kind of compliments from guys that he played against, I think kind of seals the deal.
Adam, we got a mystery guest online. We're getting Super Bowl predictions from everyone around WGN Radio, so we got to let you go. But real quick, give us your prediction. Harry and I are giving away a Starburst pack and a gift card to Starbucks out of our own significant coffers over here. So what do you got, Patriots or Eagles? Give me your score.
24-23 Patriots.
I mean, everybody is right in the same zone here. All right, you're in. Adam's got 24-23. John Williams is 23-21. Kevin Powell is 24-22. Dave Ennett is the only one picking the Eagles at 24-21.
You go, Dave.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Adam Hogue up at Minneapolis. Sports Central 1-2. On WGNRadio.com, Monday through Friday. Check it out. It was great to be on with Adam this week. Mystery guest, welcome to The Beat on 720 WGN. Please announce yourself to the crowd, team.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. This is Wendy Snyder calling in, and I'm on Dave Bennett's team. I'm going Eagles.
Yay! Wendy, now you are one of the top football minds in the country. What process led you to deciding on Philly tomorrow?
All right. honestly, I have to go with the Eagles because their kicker, Jake Elliott, is from my town, LaGrange. He went to Lyons Township High School, which my boys go and went to. So I got to go Eagles over Tom Brady, 17-11.
17-11? One of the more...
11?
Yes.
Let's hold on a second here, Wendy.
Dilly-dilly Philly. Come on.
I like the pick.
I don't know if a Super Bowl team has ever scored 11.
I'm going quick research.
You know, it's not dice.
Would you like to lay out how they get to the 11?
No. I just want to go with my pick, and, you know, there's always a first time for something.
And Wendy, where will you, how will you take in the game tomorrow?
Green Bay.
I don't know. I might go to a party. I might stay home and make some chili and little wiener wraps, because those are really excellent.
I'm a big
those
fan.
Smokies?
Oh, yeah. Big fan of a wiener wraps and the baby quiche on a Super Bowl Sunday.
Really? Huh. All right. What are you guys doing for the Super Bowl?
We're coming over. I'm all in on a weenie wrap. That sounds amazing. And I also hear that... it's just fun to hang out with you, Wendy, so I'd like to just get involved.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Kevin Powell's having a party. Dave Ennett, no one's going to be home, so we can let his dog out. And I might go over to Bill Left's house and see if I can jimmy loose the brake front full of toys so I can play with them, because toys were made to be played with.
He's going to be watching the game with his toys.
Wendy, good luck. Wendy, good 17-11.
Luck. 17-11, you heard it here first.
Yes.
Guys. Iron Man, would you like some more pepperoni pizza?
Harry will hand
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Wendy. Harry's going to hand you the Starburst. I'm going to hand you the Starbucks. That's the plan. All right, 17-11. There's never been an 11 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it couldn't happen.
Drew Bledsoe played in the Super Bowl. He wore number 11.
There's that.
Larry Fitzgerald was great in the Super Bowl. He had a big game. He was number 11. A
lot of 10s. Do you remember Super Bowl 39, Harry?
Do I remember Super Bowl 39? Sure.
What was the score in Super Bowl 39?
Who played in it?
Oh. There's a reason I brought it up, Harry.
Okay. Well, I'll see. The Bears were in 41. So it was a couple, just 2 years prior to that.
I'll explain why I brought it up coming up here right after the news. As the flames climb high into the night, to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight today. The music died. Why are we playing this song, Harry Tynowitz?
Because, sadly, 59 years ago tonight... in a little town called Clear Lake, Iowa, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, were killed in a plane crash. It went down after a show they did, and there was a tremendous loss of talent. You know, Buddy Holly was groundbreaking. He was not to take anything away from Richie Valens, who was awesome. Big Bopper was Chantilly Lace. But the three of them went down in the crash in the plane tonight. This day in 1959, and of course Don McLean immortalized them with one of the greatest songs ever written.
No doubt, never gets old.
This is the day the music died.
So there you go, tying it all together. We are, as we get you back on track to the positivity of the flow of the Super Bowl 52 up in Minneapolis, your Philadelphia Eagles, your New England Patriots. We're talking to different WGN personalities coming out of breaks. We're getting predictions, and Harry's going to give Starburst. I'm going to give a gift card to Starbucks to whoever comes closest. We've now have two people picking the Philadelphia Eagles, Wendy Snyder. Bill and Wendy just jumped on 17-11.
11?
She's got the Eagles. We questioned 11. 847's texting in, like we can't do math. 8 plus 3 is 11. And it's a very hard scenario there, 847, to get to 11. If it's 17-3 and it's late in the game and they get a touchdown,
they're going to go for one.
They're going to go for one. So the scenario to get to will they come out of the gates and just go crazy? We're going for two. It's 11's going to be a very hard number to hit.
But she's probably the best football mind here at WGN Radio.
She's a genius.
Remember last year she said that Atlanta would build a 25-point lead and then New England would come back and win in overtime?
It was incredible that she said all that.
Wendy called it.
And she said that Tom Brady would be the MVP in the whole thing.
She said Aaron Rodgers would dump Olivia Munn and move move on to Danica Patrick.
She's never been wrong in her life. All right, let's bring in our next WGN radio personality. Who are you picking to win the Super Bowl?
Hello, baby.
It's the Big Bopper.
After an obituary for three rock and roll stars, that's how I come on? Oh, the Big Bopper's dead. Hi, guys. It's Brian Noonan.
It's Brian Noonan. Sundays, 3 to 7. How are you, Brian Noonan?
I am wonderful. I was listening to Wendy's prediction. I, too, had trouble with the math, but as much as I respect Wendy, the math was a little off. I will say, though, I will make it a trifecta. Dave Ennett, Wendy Snyder, Brian Noonan, Eagles, winning the Super Bowl tomorrow.
What's your score?
I love it.
Let's hear it.
28-24, Eagles.
28-24, Philadelphia.
Correct.
I like it.
Say, how did I come to this?
I would say that.
I don't break it down. You guys have the hot takes. You're all about the X's, the O's. I am all about cities burning to the ground. New England, they win, nothing burns. I want Philadelphia to burn tomorrow. It's going to burn one way or another. I want it to be a happy burn, a celebratory burn, instead of a sad, morose, oh, we got our butts handed to us burn. You know what I'm saying?
For years I've loved the celebratory burn. There was a time in my life when I hated the sideburn.
So now hold on a second.
Well, see, I am a big fan of the sideburn, Harry. The pork chops, the mutton chop, the spike. I go with the fade, the whole thing.
Brian, as far as the Eagles' numbers go, well, you and Dave Ennett are, you're in this general ballpark, but you're going for more offense, which I believe is going to be true tomorrow. I like points being on the board. I like your position, sir.
Let me tell you this.
Yes.
Carm, Harry, Nick Foles is going to prove that the NFC Championship was not an aberration. Everybody said, oh, listen, statistically, he's never played that way before. He'll never play that way again. Au contraire. Put it on the board. Nick Foles comes out en fuego. He burns up the frozen tundra. Carm, first of all, button your coat when you're doing outside remotes in Minnesota. All right? You're going to catch your death.
No gloves.
You in your monk strap shoes.
No gloves.
Walking around in the snow. Stop it. Put your coat on. It's not cool. You're not a teenager anymore. You're a grown man. Wear your hat and coat.
So, what Brian's talking about is a video that I did this week up there. I did not plan on it being cold because I left Chicago and it was.
You were going to Minnesota in February.
It was. I left on Sunday. It was
this
like
1940. Did you not have access to what was happening just a couple states away?
I was going seat in my pants. Packing at the last second. It was 50 degrees here on Sunday. My whole life, all my Minnesota friends have told me that there's no difference between Minneapolis and Chicago. It's the same.
They lied.
They absolutely lied. I got off.
How else will they get people to move there?
I got off the plane Sunday night, and I had a heart attack, Noonan.
Carm, anybody could have told you. Don't trust natives up there. They're giving you the hard sell. Oh yeah, Minnesota, we got a lot of lakes. It's never that cold. That's hogwash. It's freezing. I went to a wedding up there. My cousin got married there in late January. The air temp was like minus 10. The wind chill was minus 25. I would never go up there without excessive gear.
Yeah, no.
And you're running around in dress shoes, your coat open, like you're just, Mary Tyler Moore throwing your hat in the air.
I did.
I thought the tank top was a little much.
Brian, appreciate it.
I'm with you, Harry. Excessive.
Thank you, Brian.
Gentlemen, listen, I'm not going to take up more of your time. I have to go make more wild predictions.
28-24, Brian Noonan's on
the
board.
Give us another wild prediction. It's nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
Nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
It's just a wild prediction.
I will be on tomorrow at 3. That's a wild prediction. I show up? Do I not? You make the call.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I'll check Peter's blog in the morning.
Thanks. Thanks, Brian.
Bye, guys. You're welcome. Bye.
Interesting math from the 6-3-0 coming in here. 3 field goals and 1 safety could get you to 11. We did not consider that. Well, and that is yeah. I think that would be your way to 11.
There was a year Pittsburgh got 21 and they had 2 safeties. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Huge. Wow. 312-981.
Greatest safety ever in the history of the Super Bowl.
Go ahead.
Come on, Carm.
Greatest safety ever in
Super Bowl 20. It was 44-10 when Henry Wechter recorded a safety for the Bears.
Don't remember that.
Bears.
I don't remember that.
Don't remember Henry Wechter?
No.
How do you forget Henry Wechter?
I remember who was 46 that had an interception in the game? Mike Phillips?
Reggie Phillips. Well, yeah, but he wasn't 46. He was 48.
48.
Right. So, they played the 4-6 defense.
Do I get some credit for mentioning Reggie Phillips, even though I called him Mike Phillips and I had his name wrong? I think that's
still number.
That's an obscure moment in Super Bowl 20 that most people.
Obscure moment? It was the Bears defense scored the greatest defense ever.
Yeah, but
no
one is talking Reggie Phillips right now on the radio other than me, Harry.
That's probably true.
Right. That might not be a good thing. Hey, Jim, you called in, so we're putting you on, buddy. What's going on there? Right. You got a theory on Wendy Snyder?
Yeah, I think she's got a square with the 7-1 on there.
Jim, you are brilliant. How did we not see that, Carm?
It's probably true. Good angle, Jim.
Jim, do you have a square this year?
You know, I got there too late for my usual place. They were sold out. It was a week and a half ago.
And, of course, we're speaking of Super Bowl squares. A lot of neighborhood bars have them. You know, there's just simply, you know, 100 squares. You put your name on one. You throw in $5. I know at the Merc, they throw in a lot more than $5. And you get points. You know, if your points match at the end of the quarter or the half or the game, you win.
Jim, I feel bad for you. You can get in the WGN Radio, Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz contest. What's your score? If you beat every WGN personality, we'll come and find you with our Starkist and Starburst. What do you got?
Well, now we're giving Starkist?
Starburst.
Now we're giving three things. We're giving Starkist tuna, Starburst candy, and Starbucks coffee.
He just dropped off the air. He didn't want his Starburst or his Starbucks or his Starkist.
Now I want more stars.
Yeah, it's the way it goes. I was gonna take care of Jim, but he didn't want to be taken care of. Hey, Harry.
Yes, Carm. Super Bowl 39.
Super Bowl 39. Would you like to gander a guess as to why I brought up Super Bowl 39?
Well, tell me the teams that were in it. I probably could.
Well, it's the time that the Patriots and the Eagles played in the Super Bowl.
And do you know what happened there in the fourth quarter?
I don't remember the fourth quarter.
How do you not remember the fourth quarter?
Because I just know that New England beat the Eagles 24-21. Well,
Let me tell you something. There was a kid from the University of Illinois named Greg Lewis, wide receiver number 83, and Donovan McNabb hit him late in the game, under 2 minutes. Greg Lewis reels in a touchdown pass, and instead of losing that game by 11, they lost that game instead of losing by 10, they lost by 3.
Yeah.
The final score was 24-21.
And you didn't cover?
And they did cover. Philly covered because of that late touchdown.
And that cost you money?
Made me money.
Made you money.
I was on the right side of that one.
Congratulations.
Thank you. What do you think was the gutsiest call by a coach in the history of the Super Bowl? I have a very specific thing.
The gutsiest call by a coach in the history of the Super Bowl. Go ahead. I'm not even going to gander a guess. Go ahead.
Colts Saints. Saints come out in the second half. Onside.
That was awesome.
Onside. What big brass one Sean Payton has, huh?
No doubt. Your Super Bowl memories, by the way.
Well, my memory, but I have a horrible sense of direction.
It's okay. Your Super Bowl memories are just top notch. It's strong, Harry.
I love me some Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right. So, Brian Noonan 28-24, Wendy Snyder 17-11, Adam Hoge 24-23, New England. Mm-hmm. Noonan and Snyder have the Eagles. Kevin Powell 24-22,
King
Patriots.
John.
King John 23-21, Patriots. Dave Ennett 24-21, Eagles. More WGN personalities to come.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be crazy because, like, you know, Jennings is going to pick, like, the Celtics.
Jennings, I think, actually, he told me he was going with the Bulls.
Bulls. Hey, you know what? Can we take a 60-second break from the Super Bowl? We love the Super Bowl, but you brought up the Bulls. Carm, you are Mr. Basketball. You love this. I mean, I love the Bulls. You love the Chicago Bulls. You should marry the Chicago Bulls. You should get a room with the Chicago Bulls.
Okay, take it easy.
What did we get back for Nico? Did we get enough?
No, I think the Bulls made a good trade. And, you know, I think it's everything in the NBA. Harry, I'll miss Nico, by the way. I enjoyed Nico.
Mm-hmm. Having dinner with him?
Having dinner with Nico. 17.6 rebounds, Nico. Getting better, Nico. I think he's going to be a very good player in the league for a while, Nico. But his timeline and what he was expected to get paid after next season didn't really fit with the Bulls. Plus, he didn't want to be here, or he wanted Bobby Portis gone. Personally, I would have thought long and hard about dealing Bobby Portis and keeping Nico. I don't know why you really need Bobby Portis. I think Nico's going to be a very good player. He's transformed himself in the offseason, a lot stronger, shooting it better. Nico's going to do well in New Orleans. That being said, they had to move him. They were going to move him to get a first-round pick and to get some flexibility with the salary cap. All of that is a win for the Bulls. So it makes sense. Big decision for the Bulls coming up, which they've already made, but they're by trading for Zach LaVine. But you're going to give a huge contract to a guy who already has one ACL tear. Last night, Jabari Parker came back for the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the New York Knicks. That was a guy who had an ACL tear, and then he had another ACL tear. These things tend to happen. You remember Derrick Rose. It hurts your franchise when you have a guy getting max money who is not playing. And that's to me, like, everything's turning up Bulls right now. Lauri Markkanen's having a kid. He's got to go overseas. The tank is on. Nico trade comes together. That's beautiful. Chris Dunn falls off the rim, breaks his face, gets concussed. He's going to be fine down the line, but he's missing a ton of games. The Bulls are losing because of it. All of this is great for the Bulls. The Zach LaVine thing is I hope it works out. He's 22 years old. Kid's got a ton of talent.
Do you know what the great Norm Van Lier would say if we told him somebody left the Bulls in the middle of the season because they were having a kid? I mean, that is so, you know, the late, great Milt Pappas used to get upset when guys would leave to go see their, you know, son's graduation.
I think Norm just did roll over in his grave with that one. I love Norm Van Lier. I miss Norm Van Lier. Norm Van Lier was the greatest. Thank you for bringing him up on the air. Number two.
I love Storm and Norman.
The king of the world. 720 WGN. Eagles theme song rolling all day here. 720 WGN. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz with you till 7. We move towards the 6 o'clock hour, getting predictions from everybody around WGN. Let's bring in our next guest. Welcome to 720 WGN, your radio home. Who do you have winning the Super Bowl and the score? Please go ahead.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. I'm at your alma mater.
You're at the University of Iowa?
I sure am. At the Chop House, actually.
It's Judy Pylak, the greatest.
Yay.
Hi.
Goodbye, girl.
All right. So my prediction, of course, is the Eagles, because I hate Tom Brady.
Why do you hate Tom Brady, Judy?
Because
he's a cheater.
Uh-huh. What else you got?
He and Bella cheats. That's all I got. What more do I need?
You don't. Go ahead.
What? Is Tom Brady the first man that you've ever known to cheat?
Yes.
Wow.
That's how much I just, you know what? Enough with the Patriots, okay? I'm just,
right.
We've had them too long.
Judy, I'm with you. 95% of America is rooting for Philadelphia tomorrow.
Judy Pylak, what score do you have?
I have the Eagles winning it 7-21.
The Eagles winning, you know,
21-7.
You know, you put the big score on top here. There,
yes,
wow, we found a better football expert than Wendy Snyder.
21. Well, that's true though. She does have better football numbers here. 21-7. I do like that. All right, Judy, tell everybody at the University of Iowa that I say hello. They all love me there. I'm huge.
And that he's sorry.
Yes, everywhere I go, I apologize for you.
Thank you.
They look at me and I say, Mark, sorry.
Judy, if you win, you get Starkist from Harry and a Starbucks card from me.
Starburst or Starkist?
Why do I keep on saying Starkist? Starburst.
Starburst. I knew what you meant. Harry, I'm good with either one. Either one's okay.
We'll get you out. We're going to find more stars by the time Monday rolls around.
Awesome.
We'll be listening to you. I'll be listening to you streaming on Monday with Wendy and Bill.
Thank you, Judy Pylak.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
All right, Judy Pylak in Iowa City, Eagles 21-7. That's now 1, 2, 3, 4 picking the Eagles through the WGN family, 3 with the Patriots. So according to WGN, the Eagles should be a heavy favorite.
Hey, you know what? It'd be a lot of fun if the Eagles won.
A lot of people betting with their heart here, Harry.
Well, you know, and that's where you get in trouble.
This is true. This is very true. We're gonna
don't
have
ask me how I know.
Well, right. You've learned, right?
I made the same mistake 700 times.
Which mistake would that be?
What are the Bears getting? I'll take the Bears.
So you bet with your heart.
Yeah. Is it a good thing when you hear the bookie snickering in the background?
Well, at least you got a scarf out of it. Barney, you got a Barney scarf.
I got
out
a $200. That's so you read that entire thing that was in the art, that was in the Athletic, and that's what you got out of it.
Well, no, I think, first of all, you've told me about the Barney scarf before, the Athletic, yes, piece, so I don't want to break your outstanding piece in the
Outstanding Athletic.
Outstanding piece in the Athletic. Like, if you haven't subscribed to the Athletic yet, you should subscribe just to read Harry's piece.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
I could post it on LinkedIn if I knew how to work LinkedIn.
Well, technology is very challenging these days.
Yep.
We have a very special battle coming up right after the 6 o'clock news. We have one diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, one diehard New England Patriots fan. They're both very prominent people in this city that make people feel very happy.
They have been around a long time living in Chicago, but they both grew up in these towns, these cities that meet tomorrow night for the Super Bowl. And we thought it'd be fun to have them on together to kind of get their pulse and see what happens when we combine the two together.
All that's coming up right after 6 o'clock. If you're just joining the show, Brian Urlacher into Pro Football's Hall of Fame, into the class of 2018. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Yeah, down by the river. 6:07, good evening. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz with you for one more hour. The best hour, last hour, best hour, make it the best moments of your radio day right here as we have a battle royale about to go on. Harry, we have searched long and hard to find two people that have the passion for this game that's required for this segment, and we have found them. One of them
in this corner,
in the far corner from the streets of Philadelphia. He spends his time hanging out with his son. I recently just saw him at the United Center for a Bulls game or a Blackhawks game. I don't even remember. But you find him at Harry Carey's downtown. He is the one and only Frankie O, diehard Eagles fan. Frankie, welcome to the program.
Let's go, guys. I feel it. I feel good.
All right. And now in the near corner, coming out of the streets of Boston, somewhere close to Foxborough, the man has a Tony Eason jersey, he's got a Drew Bledsoe, and he's got a Tom Brady. You will find him at Stanley's in Lincoln Park, which have a great brunch tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Art Moore is ready to do battle with Frankie O as we battle it out. New England fans, Philadelphia Eagles fans, represented by Frankie and Art, 720 WGN. I'm personally here. I'm nervous.
I understand why you'd be nervous. Now, Artie, welcome to the show.
Harry, thanks very much. Glad to be here and glad to be in such great company. certainly know the legend of Frankie O.
All right. Now, before the Patriots became this five-time Super Bowl champ, the team you and your buddies grew up rooting for, Artie, was a frustrating team that never could win the big game, right?
Well, you know, it was really a vagabond team, Harry. They started off playing their games over at Boston University at the old Braves Field where the Boston Braves baseball team played. I saw them play games at Fenway Park, Harvard Stadium, Boston College, where, interestingly, at an exhibition game I was at, the stands caught on fire, so that was a good one.
That's awesome.
And then Schaefer Stadium, and now they have a nice stadium, as do the Eagles, a nice new stadium down in Foxborough.
Frankie O, you have the pressure of the entire country, maybe even the whole world, on you because everybody wants to see Art Moore, and more specifically, the Patriots go down here. Harry's wearing his Ricky Waters 32 Eagles jersey, and by the
How
way,
about that Frank,
yeah, and by the way,
I
we're
love Waters for who for what?
What are you talking about, man? Big years for the
what?
Eagles.
That's Ricky. Yeah, I know Ricky. But again, for us Eagle fans, we never sealed the deal. And again, I heard Artie talking about his history. You know, my history was going to the Veterans Stadium, that big cement bowl, sitting in the 700 level with my grandmother. We were throwing snowballs at Santa. I was watching my grandmom getting fistfights with Giant fans. Again, a lot of flood of memories here for what an Eagles victory would mean for all those people that have rooted for the Eagles for their whole lives. It's been a lifetime of suffering. We have suffered for a long time. I want the suffering to end.
Did you just say that your grandma got in fistfights and I'm tending to believe you?
Absolutely. How do you think I was raised?
That's amazing.
I'm a Philadelphian.
It is Philadelphia.
They were Giant fans. I mean, what are you going to do? They're Giant fans. Have you ever listened to a Giant fan? They're annoying.
Frankie, who are some of your all-time favorite Eagles? Are there one or two guys that come to mind when we ask that question?
Well, immediately, I love the underdog story that my Eagles are right now, and that would be Vince Papale. Vince Papale taught at a high school that was one of my high school rivals. Dick Vermeil came in and was going to change the culture of the Eagles, and Vince Papale represented all the suffering that we had done. And I don't know, I've watched Invincible maybe 10 times the last 2 weeks. So you tell me who my favorite is.
Frankie O'Harry carries the toast for Harry coming up again. The Rokan Show, of course, will be out there. Hey, Frankie, when is that, by the way?
That'll be February 15th. The Roe Show, Roe and Ann will be here between 4 and 7. And our Toastmaster will be the one and only Ryne Sandberg. The Worldwide Toast to Harry will be Thursday, February 15th at 6:30.
That's amazing.
Frankie O, I couldn't believe it when you told me yesterday how many years it's been since Harry left us.
Yes, it's been 20 years. It's hard to believe. I've been here 23. It was a magical time when Harry was alive. And since then, I've just been a caretaker of his legend. Again, Harry was all about having fun, having a good time in a bar. So for me, it's kind of easy. Everybody wants to come in and talk about Harry. But like you said, Harry, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years.
Art, why don't you talk about the fun that you're going to have tomorrow when the Patriots win Super Bowl number 6 with Tom Brady?
Well, we're expecting a big crowd here, and I actually think it's going to be a very good game. I think that the Eagles have a real good team, but I think that Bill Belichick has certainly proven his outstanding coaching abilities. Of course, Tom Brady's one of the greats of all time. I'd like to tell you who my favorite Eagle is of all time, and that would be Chuck Bednarik, because I admire Frankie's grandmother for punching a New Yorker. As you guys probably know, New Yorkers aren't too popular in Boston. So Chuck Bednarik put Frank Gifford out for a year, so he's my favorite Eagle.
Do you remember that there?
My favorite Patriot is Gino Cappelletti, who is Tom Waddle's father-in-law.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Damn straight. So, like, it kind of doesn't seem fair, guys. I mean, Carson Wentz is awesome. Maybe the leading candidate for MVP. He gets hurt. So you got a backup quarterback, and you got a coach, like, in his second year going up against arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of football and the greatest head coach. Frankie O, what has to happen for the Eagles to win tomorrow?
Well, you have to limit your mistakes. I mean, it's old cliche, Lovie Smith football. Field position, no turnovers. I really think the Eagles can run the ball on New England. Limit the amount of time that Tom Brady's on the field. But again, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. You're going to take your hits. I like the fact that the Eagles are aggressive. You're not going to see the Eagles take a knee with 50 seconds left and a half if they have a chance to move down the field. The one thing about Doug Peterson I love, he's been very, very aggressive all year. He's gone for a lot on fourth down. He's instilled this chemistry within his team of, we can go out and punch anybody in the face. We're going to go out and dictate what's happening on the field. We're going to go out and impose our will. So far this year, that's been able to happen. And again, losing Carson Wentz, losing an all-pro tackle, losing their best linebacker, losing a running back. It doesn't matter who they lose. They just put somebody else in. And that team mentality, that group mentality that's so aggressive has been able to get them to the point where they are right now.
Art, are you yawning right now? I know you guys are
I'm not, and I think Frankie makes some good points. I think running the ball, as you saw Jacksonville do against New England, was very effective. From New England's point of view, I think they're the key to, for them is if they can get ahead early, I think that, you know, they certainly have the confidence. They've won a number of times. I think that, you know, if Philly gets behind early, it might hurt their confidence. But they have been a resilient team. So, you know, I think if the Patriots jump out in front, they'll be looking good.
And I know, Artie, the basketball rivalry between your two cities is awesome. The 76ers and the Celtics.
And, yeah, it goes back to the Warriors and the Celtics with Chamberlain and Russell.
Right, and then you got the hockey rivalry, Bruins and Flyers. They play some fight-filled games. So what is the what do Boston guys think of the Philadelphia sports fan?
Well, they think they're a pretty tough group, and, you know, they have had I think we've broken their hearts more times in basketball, and I remember them breaking my heart one time in the Stanley Cup Finals in the Bobby Orr era. But I think they kind of get a kick out of them. They certainly don't have the animosity toward the Philadelphia fans that they do towards the New York fans. And probably Philly doesn't like New York either.
Best way, guys, before you go, to pace yourself during a Super Bowl Sunday, beverage-wise?
Sam Adams, all the way.
Frankie O, you got some special concoction you can recommend for Super Bowl parties?
Well, yeah, well, if you're a Philly fan, I have my drink of choice, and that's called the Not Again, and it's really simple. It's just two ingredients. You get a paper bag, right, and then you grab a bottle of your favorite beverage. You put that bottle into the paper bag, open it, sit in a corner, and sip it the whole game. And then at the end of the game, if the Eagles have lost again, hey, not again, right? And then if the Eagles do win, you're already a bottle in, and you can go celebrate the rest of the night.
That's a solid plan right there. Well, all right, guys. Well, this was friendlier than I anticipated. You guys are both gentlemen.
Carm, you seem disappointed.
Well, I like taunting. I like this.
Hey, Carm, it's hammer and nail. I can't upset the football gods. My team has been pounded my whole life, and I can't come and sit here and go, hey, you guys have been to 10 Super Bowls. We're going to come kick your ass. You know what I mean? it's kind of hard to see that. I don't want to upset the football gods. I'm going to, if the Eagles win, you'll hear a lot from me. But before then, no, I'm just going to stay, hang out here, and then just after the game, look for a light pole to climb up if it's not greased.
And I don't like to, I'm a little superstitious, so I don't like to count my chickens before they hatch.
No, well, there it is.
You've counted a bunch of chickens too, my friend.
You really have. We're all jealous of you, Art.
They're both great times. Go to the legendary Harry Carey's downtown on Kinsey. Frankie O and Art Moore, of course, barkeep over at Stanley's Kitchen and Tap, Lincoln and Armitage. These are like two of the three greatest bartenders in this city. And guys, good luck tomorrow. May the best team that doesn't cheat win.
Allegedly.
Thank you. See you guys. Art and Frankie O jumping on here as we have the Eagle Patriot bartender perspective. You don't get that everywhere, Harry.
No, and you wanted like ugliness there.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, it's Philly, it's Boston, it's violent.
They were on their best behavior. See, like if we did them right after the game.
Right.
It might be a little different.
Well, especially with Frankie's plan there. The what did he call it? The not again plan. That was an aggressive. That's an aggressive way of going about it. All right. Playing video games with a 92-year-old NFL Hall of Famer. That's on the next Man of the People with Pat Tomasulo. Watch Man of the People. That's tonight at 10 on WGN TV. My father's 92 years old. I wonder if but he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame, so I guess it's not going to be him.
That's crazy. My dad is 92 years old.
And I believe that Phil and Fred are going to be connecting sometime soon here.
Very excited. They went to high school together, and now here they are, what, 75 years later?
How about that? Hey, coming on back here, NFL rule changes, Harry. Rich McKay, president.
Atlanta,
CEO. Super Bowl's in Atlanta next year, huh?
That new Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It has a roof that you can open and close, all that. But what are they going to do about the catch rule? What are they going to do to make football better?
Yeah, how are they going to stop Wilson Contreras from visiting the mound five times in an inning?
Yeah, that's a separate issue. Thank you to Artie, and thank you to Frankie O for jumping on your 720 WGN.
The Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
One of the greatest moments in the history of the Super Bowl. Best start to a Super Bowl ever in Miami. Devin Hester brings the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And as he hits the 30-yard line, he starts looking at himself on the large Jumbotron, sees himself going into the end zone. Bears fans were just in amazement. And, Carm, I turned to my buddy Rob Ullman from the registry, and I said, Rob, if this is all the Bears do all day, it's a great day. I was wrong.
Yeah, they did not win the football game, but that was the best moment of the day. There was a guy by the name of Peyton Manning on the field that day that did a little bit better in the end than yeah. Devin. But Devin was, you know, it's interesting with the Hall of Fame going in today, and Brian Urlacher made it, if you're just joining us, first ballot Hall of Famer. Randy Moss was a first ballot today as well. Ray Lewis, first ballot Hall of Famer. Devin Hester, you bring him up, will he be wearing the old?
Absolutely. I mean,
he
revolutionized. Look, there he is starting a Super Bowl by returning a – the Bears were an underdog, and they were up 7-0 because of a kick returner. Let's remember how many times they would punt away from Devin Hester, or they would squib kick, and the Bears would start at the 35, or they would start at the 40.
You're making a case whether or not he should be. I'm wondering – I'm just talking about whether or not he'll actually be voted in, how the writers will look at it.
I think that the time will hurt – or will help an individual player. And I think in this case, time will help Devin Hester, because people would simply look at that number, you know, 20 combined kick returns for touchdowns, and they'll say, this guy has got to get in.
I don't want to say that he's the greatest special teams player of all time, because
greatest kick returner of all time.
Like, would you rather have him back there, or would you rather have Deion back there?
I'd rather have Devin Hester.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I loved watching Deion, but okay. Hey, quick question here.
I'd rather have Deion doing a segment on the NFL Network than Devin Hester.
If how about a punt return, Deion or Devin? Deion was sweet, man.
Deion was great. Deion had more style.
Right.
You know, but Devin Hester, look at the numbers.
I mean, Deion's it's a whole other animal.
But I mean, Deion was one of the great cornerbacks of his era.
Better football player,
right,
no comparison.
Much better football player, not even close.
Right, right. And he was a great returner, which makes me want to argue.
Can I tell you what I saw that night that was the best ever in Super Bowl history, besides the best start to a Super Bowl ever?
Were you there?
I was there.
Oh, yeah, you were, right, in the rain.
In the rain, yeah. in the upper deck. And it was really great for about a half, but the two greatest ever moments from that Super Bowl, greatest start to a Super Bowl ever, and the greatest halftime show ever, Prince.
R.I.P. man. There was Prince tributes all this week up in Minneapolis.
I bet there was. I mean, you're in the land of purple there when you're in Minneapolis.
Still Prince, a hero.
Prince, it's a legendary story, but the producer of the Super Bowl halftime show asked him, they said, you know, Prince, we're a little worried because you do all this moving around, you've got backup dancers, you're going to go out there with your electric guitar and play in a thunderstorm, in a driving rainstorm, are you okay to play? And Prince asked the guy, he goes, hey, can you make it rain harder?
There it is.
And he closed with Purple Rain.
Great tune.
And then Rex threw an interception to Kelvin Hayden. And could Rex tackle Kelvin Hayden and keep the cover? No. Rex let Kelvin Hayden go by. If it were one-hand touch, he would let him go by.
I was so happy when you brought up Norm Van Leer. Hearing Rex, is like you kind of like cancel that one out. Rex is our quarterback. All right. Brian Urlacher's in the Hall of Fame, though. Hey, real quick, 312-981-7200. Who's not watching the Super Bowl tomorrow? Who is so... I'd like to know what you're doing counter-programming. Like, what is the angle? If I'm...
The only possible answer would be I have to work.
I feel like there are people out there, and I just want to search for them right now, 312-981-7200. I will not be watching the Super Bowl. I am not interested in the Super Bowl. I hate today's show that you guys are doing, talking about the Super Bowl. I can't wait for football to be over as of about 24 hours from 9 o'clock tonight. Dan Long, are you going to be watching the game tomorrow?
I will. It's the first time in a couple of years I have a Sunday off where I can kind of relax and pop open a couple beers and enjoy the game.
So in the Dan Long palatial estate with a couple of beers watching the game, or are you going to the will it be a excursion?
I do not have a plan finalized yet. I'm still kind of weighing my options.
Okay. Well, you are Mr. Last Second.
Tell me about it.
There you
Is that a shot at my producing of this program?
No. I'm saying it's like the one football game. You know, if it's week 9 in the season, you know, I'll get phone calls or texts from my buddies, want to come over tomorrow, want to come over today. watch the Bears game. But like the Super Bowl, that's something you kind of plan out.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, I think Dan's just weighing a gazillion options right there. He's debating which beautiful female's house he's going to go over to, and he hasn't mm-hmm. he hasn't made a call yet.
But I think
that's clearly what the case is.
I think the important thing is, Dan, is if you're going to make a call after you've been enjoying the day and enjoying the game, make sure you call Carm and I again and not some young lady. That was a little bit of a scary phone call we got that day.
I don't remember that at all. Working in Michigan City with Uber is a 219.
He's got the game on the radio, or she's got the game on the radio.
It doesn't sound like.
Michigan City, by the way, there's a steak and shake, so you'll be okay.
630, I'll be watching, but my girlfriend always watches the Puppy Bowl instead.
Isn't the Puppy Bowl on prior to?
I'm just reading the text. I've never really actually watched the Puppy Bowl. I've heard about the Puppy Bowl. I've seen highlights of the Puppy Bowl. There was who was in the Puppy Bowl commercial this year? I just watched it yesterday. I can't remember. Older gentleman, used to be a big time guy. Now, okay, never mind. I feel like it was like Alex Trebek, but maybe it wasn't.
No, I don't know. I don't know who you're. There's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, people are. Some texts are coming in right now saying I'm not going to watch because of. The kneelers out there.
We don't know that anyone will kneel. Okay, so that's one of the prop bets you can bet is will the cameras tomorrow show a football player kneeling during the national anthem?
I talked to some of the Patriots, some of the Eagles about it, whether they were or were not, mm-hmm. and they were saying it was a captain's decision. I don't think anybody's going to be kneeling. I think they might do like an arm in arm type
right.
of thing, something along those lines. But we'll see.
They should have Colin Kaepernick do the coin toss.
That'd be something they won't be doing, but that'd be amazing.
What a joke that he didn't play this year. What a joke. That they colluded and they did not let one of the top 60 quarterbacks in the world be one of the top, 90 quarterbacks that played this year in the NFL.
I don't know if it was. I wouldn't call it collusion. I would call they all made the same decision.
It's all coincidence.
Well, I mean, they're so to speak. It's wrong. The fact that the guy didn't even get a tryout, but they didn't need him to try out because they all knew that he was good enough to play. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's like the 27th best quarterback in the world right now. And
joke, David Jennings, collusion or not collusion?
They're not smart enough to collude, Harry. They can't get
the NFL owners.
No,
they're geniuses. They're all billionaire businessmen.
Yeah, but
if you think that they didn't talk to each other and have a conversation and decide that none of them wanted Kaepernick on their teams, you're probably living in an alternative reality.
I don't think so. I don't think that went on. I think they're all they're all trying to beat each other. Bill Belichick won't tell you anything about anything because he's trying to take you out. But
the one thing they all have in common is they cannot stand and just have no room for bad publicity.
Because fear of losing their sponsors.
They are trying to protect their investment. That's all true, and
not just protect it. They want to enhance it. Tell me one NFL franchise that actually paid to build its own brand new stadium.
Well, that's a whole nother
name.
Discussion.
One.
Well, okay, there are
Dallas Cowboys.
There
right?
are. There
Didn't
are.
Jerry Jones pay for part of it?
Yes, there are some Johnnies, but that's a whole nother issue of how they hold cities hostage, and of course they pay for part of it. The Raiders did pay for the entire stadium in Las Vegas, but they paid for some.
Right, and Jerry Jones got a lot of it paid for by Pepsi or Coke. I should remember which one.
Right. All right. Let's.
Isn't his AT&T Stadium?
They're going to get sponsorships.
You're probably right, Dave. I just think of it as that stadium with the big TV.
Here's an interesting 3-3-1. I'll be reluctantly watching. They've ruined football with all the rules. To follow up on that, we will play Rich McKay, who's on the NFL competition committee. 2-year rules. There's some interesting stuff here. I want to get your reaction here to what he said.
Manning in the shotgun puts Colley in motion. Looks in his direction. The head picked off. It's picked off. It's Tracy Porter again. He's running free. He's going to go all the way. Hand out stretch. It is a safe touchdown. 70 yards on the return. 70 yards on the return by Porter. He did it to Favre, and now he's done it to Manning.
New Orleans Saints. That's when they finally...
Super Bowl 42.
...crossed the old goal line into Super Bowl champion land. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynes with you for another 24 minutes or so. We've been going around... the WGN land, just getting different people to call in, give their Super Bowl predictions. Harry is giving away a pack of Starburst. I am giving a gift card to Starbucks. And we have another WGN celebrity calling in right now with a Super Bowl prediction. Who is going to win the Super Bowl? What is your score? Lay it on the line. Go for the victory.
You're not going to identify me? Am I going to be a mystery?
Well, I don't think it's a mystery anymore.
Well, once you talk, Steve Cochran, everybody knows you're there. I wanted.
I wanted. I'm sorry. I didn't know how to play the game. This is Kathy and Judy, and I have got. I wish I didn't, but I got the Patriots in a blowout, 31-13.
In a blowout.
Your score is dyslexic, yeah. Steve.
Yes, I did. Should I do that? By the way, allow me to join the chorus of congratulations, Brian Urlacher.
Yes, right? Little first ballot. They got that one right, did they not?
Oh, of course. And Harry, you may have thought of this. We always had the cap question in baseball. So does he go in hair or no hair?
Actually, Carm brought that up. Great question. Boy, I tell you, if I'm Brian Urlacher, I got to go in without the hair. You know, you can walk around the rest of your life with the hair, but he played without the hair.
And he was a badass without the hair. Now he looks like an accountant on steroids.
So let me ask you something, Steve, because Steve Cochran, it's great to have you on the show, by the way. And
Morning, 6 to 10.
Yes. If you don't know, that, I don't feel like Steve needs promotion, but yes, he's heard Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. If you're starting your morning in any other way, you're not living your life correctly. You just threw out there, Steve, what everyone's saying, which is, we're sick of the Patriots. Why is it? And please go deep with this one. Why is it that we hate excellence? The guy that gets up every day at 4 a.m. and he's out and he's doing his workout and he's packing up his breakfast. He's got his hard-boiled eggs and he's got his salad ready for lunch and his pants are perfectly pressed and pleated and all of that. And he's got his whole calendar in front of him and he goes by it every single day and then he does it again the next day. And he does a 365. He's got the money in the wallet. That's like what the Patriots are to me, but we hate that guy. But they're.
I thought you were talking about Harry. That was the Patriots you were talking about.
Well, you know, I think I own pleated pants. It's just that there's a little punch that takes the pleat right out of
them. Why is it? Because it's boring. It's boring. We want change. We want difference. We want to mix it up. And it's not the ADD generation. When the Cowboys won a lot, you got sick of the Cowboys. When the Redskins won a lot, you get sick of the Redskins. You know, it's funny, though, Harry. You and I are old. I don't remember being sick of the 49ers. Do you?
No, because Joe Montana and Jerry Rice were so cool.
That's got to be it.
Somehow they were, like, too cool. Right, like, and Steve, like, in baseball, didn't you always, like, growing up, didn't you hate the Yankees the way they bought titles?
I didn't because I was a Yankees and a Cubs fan when they were horrible in the middle 70s and I hung with them. But I got it. I got why everybody did. Same thing. It's the same argument.
See, I'm still weeping for the 90s Bulls. Like, I needed more there. I would love I'm going to miss Brady and Belichick when they're gone, Steve. I'm doing a flip. Like,
nobody in Boston hates the Patriots. Like, nobody in Chicago hated the Bulls. You know, it's the rest of the country, right?
Right. Okay. All right. 31-13, Steve.
As long as we have you on now, who's taking the Masters?
Tiger will compete. But an early favorite, Xander Schauffele.
I like that name. I had to learn.
First person to spell it correctly wins your Starburst.
S-C-H. I'll leave the rest
not
out
even
there.
Close.
Yeah.
Do they call him the Colonel?
Yes. Actually, there's a Stone song. Hey, do the Xander Schauffele.
I love that song.
Steve, would you like to hear what your competition has picked? Or are you not interested?
Sure, of course.
You've got 31-13. John Williams has 23-21. Dave Ennett, the Patriots. Dave Ennett, who I believe is on your show, 24-21, the Eagles. Kevin Powell, who I believe used to produce your show, has the Patriots 24-22. Adam Hogue, Patriots 24-23. Wendy Snyder has the Eagles 17-11. Judy Pilek has the Eagles 21-7. And Brian Noonan has the Eagles 28-24, if you can keep that all straight.
And Orion.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. You know, Ham picked the Eagles yesterday. I hope all those Eagles picks are right because it's a better game.
Here's the weird thing, Steve. Orion picked the Houston Oilers.
Well, he's going old school. That's the big O, baby.
Steve, we'll hear you Monday. Thank you.
All right, boys. Nice job.
Appreciate it, Steve Cochran. 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. We have one more.
I did a year with that guy on the radio.
When was that? I didn't know that.
1998. What a blast. Yeah. Party.
Party hardy.
Party every day.
All right. Our last guest, who do you have? What is the score? Add yourself into the amazing Carmen Harry Super Bowl competition. Go ahead.
Hello, young man. It's Max Armstrong.
Welcome, Max. How are you?
Dolphin 66, Mississippi State 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's, double digits and double digits.
I think it might be Bill Leff if I had to. Right.
Hey, Harry.
Hi, Bill. How the heck are you?
Couldn't be better.
Bill, Wendy says you're going to be watching the game with your toys tomorrow.
Well, it's crazy because we, in my family, we always open our gifts on Super Bowl Eve. So tonight is really the magical night for us.
Wow.
Santa Ditka comes tonight.
Yes, he did. All right, just to sound like everybody else with the spread, Patriots 34, Eagles 23.
Pats 34, Eagles 23. This is the competitive Bill Leff that I know and love, because at the end of the day, Bill mm-hmm. does want to win, and he's going to give you a real prediction, and that feels like a real score. Pats 34, Eagles 23. That's why Bill's so dominant on the tennis court.
Bill, are you, you know, I know sometimes you like to cook certain things for certain events.
Yep.
You know, I remember like, you know, when they had the big, Saints in the Super Bowl, you made jambalaya for all of Evanston.
Right.
Are you doing anything special tomorrow with the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of Count Chocula, not a lot of Count Chocula, just enough to make the game go by smoothly. And then some Ruby Red Squirt to wash it all down. Mm. Nothing but sugar at the house.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I could use some Count Chocula right now.
Harry, there's always Count Chocula for you. Just stop by. It's always here.
I was at the Family Dollar store for the first time today, Bill. And
yeah.
They had Frankenberry and Booberry, but no Count Chocula.
What's with that?
I just assumed you had been there and bought it all out.
And they didn't go extra deep with the Fruit Brute or the Yummy Mummy, did they?
No.
No.
No, there was no Baron von Redberry or Sir Grapefellow.
Oh, that's their loss, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely their loss. I do have to say, I've been pulling for the Eagles all season long because it's amazing to see a backup quarterback get as far as they've got. And with all due respect to Nick Foles, because I love what he's done, a second-string quarterback against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, it's an absolute no-brainer for New England.
All right. Just know, Bill, nobody knows anything that goes on in football. You may be surprised.
I know. I'm ready.
And Bill, you had the Neil Diamond guy on yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real Neil.
Right. Bill, it's Song Blue, not Selson Blue.
It's not Selson Blue? That's the way I've always sung it.
No, Bill.
Selson Blue, everybody needs some. Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
All right.
That reminds me of, what's that Terrence Trent D'Arby song? Sign your name across my heart, right? I always used to think it was Suddenly. And I don't know what came after that. But
I thought that song from a couple years ago was We Fell in Love in a Homeless Place.
I thought it was Oprah's place.
You still hang out with Oprah?
All the time. She's here now. You want to talk to her?
I couldn't take it.
You should go talk to Oprah. Bill, great. Thank you. 10 to
Absolutely.
Noon with Wendy. 12 to 1 on the stream. We love you.
Thanks, guys. Great show today.
Bill,
take care.
Bill Leff.
Liar, pants on fire.
Bill Leff, 34, Eagles 23. 720 WGN. I wanted to play Rich McKay. Do we have time to play Rich McKay?
We have time to play Rich. We should have asked Bill about the rules changes.
Well, here, Rich McKay, real fast here, because I've teased it now twice. We got to get it in there. Rich McKay is the president of the Atlanta Falcons. He's the CEO of the Atlanta Falcons. He was the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they won a Super Bowl. He's one of the most influential people in all of football. And I talked to him about two things. One, teams moving around, like San Diego being in L.A., I believe that is bad for football. Rich McKay, what do you think? Is expansion, or rather relocation, been bad for football?
I don't like it. Relocation to me has always been problematic. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with a fan base that invests not just money, but their emotional tie to a team, into a franchise, into a logo, and then all of a sudden have that team leave. I think in our case, what I like is we have a process put in place now and some requirements that really make it hard and long. It takes a long time for a team to say, I need to relocate. So I like that. I don't like the result of it. I think in L.A., what you've got good is that the Chargers came in, and everybody was nervous when they went into the soccer stadium to play, and then they didn't win early in the year. But then they did win as the season went on, and you could feel the fan base attracted to them. I went to L.A. For our playoff game against the Rams, went into the Coliseum, which is a stadium I had grown up in with my dad, and we played a playoff game there, and I'll tell you, the atmosphere was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was really fun to watch, so I'm happy for that. I'm not happy for the people of St. Louis. I'm just not a guy that likes to see franchises move.
Rich McKay, President CEO of the Atlanta Falcons, here with us. Let's do some competition committee stuff. Here's one thing that I would love: the fumble in the end zone, Rich. Right?
Yes. You don't want it to be a touchback.
No, I want to see the exciting play of a dude, stretching for the pylon, and if he fumbles the football, well, then you get it where you fumble the football, put it on the 1 yard line.
Yeah. So let's go back to that play. It's a great. It'll definitely be a topic this year, I'm sure. In the old days, and let's just say old days is 10 years ago, we only had three of those a year. But now, as you point out, so many players are diving for the pylon, diving for the goal line, stretching the ball out. We're getting more of those, right? So we have to consider that rule a little more closely because it does feel draconian at times that I reach the ball out, the ball comes out at the one, the ball goes into the end zone, through the end zone, the next thing you know, the other team takes the ball at the 20. The one thing I don't want to do, though, and I don't think any of us, we don't want to reward people for taking an unreasonable risk with the football. I mean, the football is supposed to be, as important to you as your children. And so we don't like the fact that people are stretching the ball out that way. So it'll be an interesting topic, but I know it is one we will discuss. We discussed it pretty hard 2 years ago, and there was some sentiment to talk about changing it. It didn't get changed. I'm sure it'll be talked about again.
Let's talk catch rule or whatever it is. I'm just proposing this, Rich. Time limit on replays. You got 1 minute. If you can't figure it out, then we got to move on. And also, I think there should be like a maximum rate they're allowed to like slow down the replay. Because if we're going to do it to like the tenth of an inch of this, then that adds on to it taking forever.
I think that your points are well taken. Replay should not be breaking the momentum of a game, right? That just should not happen. And we've tried to streamline it, and we're going to continue to streamline it. Let's talk catch. In the catch, what's happened is replay itself has really begun to confuse the rule because we keep adding language to the rule to deal with replay, not with on-field officiating, because the on-field officiating of this rule is very good. The on-field officials understand the rule. But in replay, we now have 4K going to 8K, going to 20K, going to 50K, where you can see, to your point, you can see anything you want to see because you can slow it down so much. We've got to make sure we look at that and that we don't allow replay to ruin plays that it was not intended to even have an impact on.
Rich McKay, President, CEO, Atlanta, the Super Bowl in Atlanta next year, Super Bowl 53. You know one cool thing they have going on down there, Harry?
Huh?
The cheapest concession stands in the NFL. They're trying to figure out how to get people in the stadium. $2 hot dogs, $2 Cokes, beer's $5, nachos are $3. They've got the biggest screen of all time.
I was surprised to see that the lobster was only $1.75.
Right, well, there you go. So what do you think? I thought that dude is very influential.
I love it that he took a side. I love it that he wasn't politically correct, that he just said, hey, here's what we need to do. I'm sick of this. This is relocation is bad for the game. This is good. This is bad. I love it that catch rule is just so... interpreted differently every time. There's no method to the madness.
They're going to figure it out and make it better eventually, maybe. I don't know.
Just think, Carm, a year from tonight, we'll be getting ready for the Bears in the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right. I have one thing I want to conclude the show with here coming back.
Yes,
here,
and before I forget, you know, yeah. Rich McKay was part of the work you did for Fansided.
Yes.
You did Terrell Owens. You did Alex Smith. How can people see all of that?
The easiest way to see all my interviews is to either A, go to, you can friend me on Facebook, you can go to fansided.com, or the easiest way to see them all, just go to, like Fansided on Facebook, and then all the videos are all there for you. So that's probably the easiest way to do it. Thank you for bringing that up, Terry. Appreciate it. I want to get into the emotions that happen on a Super Bowl Sunday next, and a vision that I have for what it could be.
I'm all about vision.
Let's get some vision. 720 WGN.
From the 10, probably the final play of the game in regulation. Dyson, can he get in? No, he cannot. Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
How about that?
That was the greatest defensive finish ever to a Super Bowl, and it saved my keister.
That was so upsetting at the time. They deserved to get in, Harry.
Thank God they didn't.
Well, congrats on your winning of money.
It wasn't a winning of money. It was a push.
Oh.
But that was one of those times when the push felt like the win.
The push. Okay.
2 minutes left. It's tied.
Sometimes
you're laying seven. You don't think you're going to get out of there with a 7-point victory.
Sometimes kissing your sister is a victory. There you go. I got it.
You kiss Nancy?
She's
married.
No. Okay. So
what the hell is that, Carm?
I don't know what to tell you here, Harry. Let me get one thing out before we get Amy Guth in here. Saturday Night Special coming
Guth.
Up.
Guth.
Yes. So tomorrow night, whether it's Tom Brady for number 6,
mm-hmm.
or if it's Jake Elliott kicking a game-winning field goal, the local product winning his first ever Super Bowl, 5'9", 175-pound former tennis player, Nick Foles having a huge game, and the interviews come, and the emotions start to build up. I'm hoping that we do not hear, well, it's so great to see that Tom Brady broke down and started crying. It is not a breakdown if a dude, a man, has emotions come up in that moment. It's actually a moment of strength and an honesty and a connection to himself that he's allowing the world to see, and it is a strength. The breakdown, I want to change the narrative, Harry. Look at how awesome it is that Brady is having the courage to show his emotions on national TV. I'd like to hear it said like that.
The reason why Jim Kelly cried at his retirement announcement, the reason why Mike Schmidt, who was a Cub killer, the greatest Cub killer of them all, the reason why he cried is also the same reason why those guys were so great. Their passion.
Right.
Their passion is what drives them. And they're crying because they just give it all.
Because it mattered to them, because they put a lot into it, because they put their heart and soul on the line, because it's a huge part of their life.
Right.
And them allowing that to come out is beautiful. And I'd like to see and not saying that people don't think that, but I'd like to change the narrative. He broke down. It's not a breakdown. It is a growthful moment for whoever is doing it. That's awesome.
It is much different crying than when you start crying because Chelsea ordered the surf and turf.
That is a breakdown. 720 WGN.